This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. One of the greatest sources of happiness every week is just to come here and see your beautiful faces, honestly. You probably feel happy to come, but I feel happier, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, bi-idhnillah, the topic I've chosen to speak about today is the importance of the Quran in your life. Because until now, many of us do not understand just how important it is to have the Quran in your life. Too many of us, subhanAllah, unfortunately, we only really pay enough attention to the Quran when it comes to Ramadan. You know, when Ramadan comes, we suddenly pick up the Quran, we start to read it. But other than that, we find ourselves very busy, making excuses, and we don't really have enough attachment to the Quran. And what is the reason why we don't have that attachment? Because we don't realize what is this Quran in the first place. We don't realize the significance of this Quran and what this Quran is doing, is it can do for you if you really hold tight to it in this life. So that's what I want to speak about, inshallah. Because you don't realize how much you're in need for this Quran. We are all in the greatest need for this Quran daily. It's not something that you can afford to not be with. So I'm going to just speak first of all about some of the benefits that the Quran brings to your life. And then I'm going to talk about the rewards for reciting the Quran and give you some ideas lastly on how you can implement it, inshallah, in your life. So first of all, my dearest sisters, there's certain characteristics of the Quran we need to be aware of. And from those characteristics is that the Quran is being described as the Hablullah. The Hablullah, like as in the rope of Allah. Okay, so from the characteristics of the Quran is the rope of Allah. So you have to understand that that rope is your connection to Allah. The Quran is your connection to Allah. Besides your prayers, your greatest connection to Allah is through the Quran. And so he sent this lifeline down to you to help you get through this life. You know, when Allah Ta'ala created us and he created the Jannah and he created the Nar, and he knew there's going to be trials in this life. He knew there's going to be hardships. He knew it's going to be very hard to stay upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But he didn't leave you alone. He didn't leave you alone. He sent the prophets to guide us, and he sent the books. And from the greatest books, which is the seal of the books, and the completion of all of those books is the Quran. You know, the perfect words of Allah Ta'ala. The word, you know, the Quran that abrogates all of the previous revelations. Okay? So we have to realize that whoever wants to truly be close to Allah in this life, okay, whoever truly wants to be close to Allah Ta'ala in this life, whoever, you know, truly wants to feel the love of Allah in their heart, then you cannot afford to be away from the book of Allah. You cannot afford to be away from the Quran, because it is your actual, like your literal lifeline to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you're not close to the Quran, you're basically cutting yourself off from Allah. You're cutting your connection between you and Allah azza wa jal. Okay, so that's the first of the things. And then the second thing is too that the Quran is huda. It is al-huda. It is the guidance. It is your guide in this life. Like, how are you supposed to know which way to go in this life without the Quran? Like, and it's not just the clear verses, my dear sisters, that the Quran guides you. Like, you've got the commands in there, you've got the prohibitions, yes? But subhanAllah, each time you pick up the Quran, if your heart is really sincere and open to the words of Allah, and you're really seeking the answers to your problems you're going through right now, you'll find that you'll start reading the verses, and subhanAllah, Allah will put in your heart the answer to your problems. He'll put the answer into your heart of the guidance of what you're worried about right now through the words. In a way, I can't explain it, because every time you read the Quran, it has different meanings. That's the miracle of the Quran. It's not like an ordinary book. Ordinary books, like let's say, you know, ordinary books that people read, like let's say Harry Potter or something like that. How many times can you read a book like that? Even if you're a total addict, maybe maximum you could read 20 times. Maybe there's a Guinness Book of World Records for the maximum amount of times someone read it. But eventually, there's nothing new in it. Like, khalas, yani, you read every word, there's nothing new to take. But that's how the Quran is different than any other book in this world. That no matter how many times you read it, you'll always find something new. There's always something new that Allah Ta'ala is telling you through those words. And it's not necessarily you can read the tafsir. It's because it's something Allah's putting in your heart through those words. That is the miracle of the Quran. You'll read the ayah, it'll mean something to you. I'll read the ayah, it'll mean something different to me. I'm not talking about interpreting the Quran for ourselves. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about when you're looking for life solutions, when you're looking for the answers to your problems, and you turn to the Quran with sincerity, with an open heart, asking Allah, Ya Allah, guide me through your words to find the answers to what I'm struggling with. SubhanAllah, you will find if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the answer somehow into your heart. So this is what we're missing out on by not being close to the Quran, my dear sisters. So especially in these times of confusion, when it's so hard to tell what is right and wrong, and it's going to get worse, sisters. It's going to get even worse. The fitna is going to increase. Like already we know about this thing called liberalism. It is spreading. It has contaminated many Muslims in the USA. The thought, the aqidah and the thought systems of Muslims has become contaminated through liberalism. They said, I was reading an article yesterday, they said that Muslims in America have accepted LGBT faster than Christian groups. There you go. Because this is what's happening. Because why? How could this happen, my dear sisters? How could this happen? It's because Muslims are not connected to Allah and they're not connected to the Quran. What does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? Inna hada al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Verily, this Quran guides to what is upright. It guides to what is upright. It separates between the falsehood. And the truth. And if you're not close to it, you will lose sight of what is falsehood and truth. Until everything else, everything becomes a mix. Until there's no more ma'ruf, and there's no more munkar for you anymore. You don't see any difference between the halal and haram. Why? Because you became so desensitized. This is the danger of the times we're living in, because we're so surrounded by munkar, we're so surrounded by fasad that we no longer have the sensitivity. We don't even have, it's obligatory. Let me explain something to you, very important principle. It's not always obligatory to forbid the munkar, because sometimes it's not in our ability to forbid the munkar. But do you know that it's a wajib on every single one of us, my dear sisters, to at least hate that munkar in your heart? And if you don't hate it in your heart, then know that there's something very, very, very wrong with your iman. That you need to, there's some sort of disease that you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove it from your heart. There's something wrong. You need to quickly start doing some, you need to do resuscitation on your iman. Because you're going to a dangerous stage with your iman if you no longer feel any hatred towards the munkar around you anymore. Okay, so we're going to understand something very clearly. There's a difference between giving people respect and not having love for it. We're not saying, like, we know that people have got different lifestyles and we can't go and force our lifestyle on others. We're not saying that. But when you know that this is munkar and you have to hate it in your heart, you cannot accept it and say, yes, that's fine and let's praise it and let's go along with it. That's a different story. But it doesn't mean we don't go the other extreme of thinking that it's okay if we go and transgress on other people just like that because we don't like their lifestyle. That's a different story, okay? So we have to not confuse between the issues. All right, so what I'm trying to say to you, my dear sisters, the only way that this could happen to Muslims is because they're not connected with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you're connected to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is al-Furqan. It is the criterion that sets up the difference between the falsehood and the truth. And without that in your life, you're not going to be able to distinguish. You're going to start getting confused. People use their emotions, their nice words, and all of these things to confuse you. You start to get, why shouldn't I just accept? And that's what starts happening to yourself. You start reasoning with your mind rather than looking to what Allah loves and is pleased with. Okay, so as long as you open up your heart sincerely to the Book of Allah, the Quran will be your guide in times of darkness. And these are times, definitely, we live in times of darkness. In these times, definitely, you know, this is probably one of the darkest times as far as trying to find faith. As far as faith is concerned, it's probably one of the hardest and darkest times we're going through, because there's so much more influence in you, on you, than in the past. In the past, you just, you know, lived in your little village, not exposed to what's happening in the rest of the world. But in this time, we are exposed to everything that's happening in the world. You know, and everybody out there with any type of platform is able to get into your home and influence your mind and influence your heart. Okay, so that's one of the things. And then also, we have to realize that the Quran is from your greatest motivators to strive in this world. Okay? The Quran is from the greatest motivators to strive in this world, because you have to realize that in this dunya, everything is pulling you backwards. Everything. All of the attachments in this dunya pull you backwards and make you forget about Allah in the next life. Everything that, you know, subhanAllah, you're exposed to. But what the Quran does is it awakens your soul. It awakens your heart. And it takes you out of this world of heedlessness and ghafla. Right? It makes you wake up to the reality of what is this life? And what are you here for? And so it puts you in the state of being constantly aware of what is the purpose of this life and what is the reality of this life. So, and that's why, my dear sisters, the more you read the Quran, the more you're stuck to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find that you're constantly recharging your iman. You're constantly recharging your iman. And that's why the closer a person is to the Quran, the stronger you'll find their iman is. That is the reality. And so if we're lacking in our iman, if we feel we're weak, have a look at how close we are with the Quran. How much are we implementing in our lives? How much are we learning its meanings? Are we enrolled in a Quran class to learn the Quran and to, you know, and to understand it? So what measures have we taken to be close to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you have to realize that what is the reason why those who are close to the Quran, their iman is strong? Because they're constantly plugging their heart into a source. They're constantly plugging their hearts into a source. Just like your phone. Right, this is our life now. Our life revolves around our phone. But let me ask you, what happens when you don't charge your phone? Or like me, I'm always going out, my phone's on 20%, my phone's on 10%. You know, it's always, like I rarely get to, you know, charge it properly. But that's the same thing, dear sisters, with our hearts. If we're not constantly plugging our heart into the greatest source that Allah has sent us to motivate ourselves and to recharge our iman, then how can we expect to be so motivated to strive for the next life? So this is what we have to be aware of. And we have to realize that Allah Ta'ala did not send the Quran just for the purpose of reciting and memorizing it. It goes far beyond that. Yes, reciting and memorizing it is the first step. But it goes far beyond that, because Allah Ta'ala sent the Quran to motivate us. He sent it as a constant motivator for us, so that we can constantly be pushing ourselves towards change, towards positive change in our lives and in this world. Because Allah Ta'ala wants us to, you know, constantly be trying to better ourselves. Like, we should be always moving forward. As believers, striving for the next life, we should be trying to constantly pushing ourselves forward and getting better in our iman and getting better in our steadfastness, inshallah, and asking Allah to keep us steadfast, right? So once you start treading in this path of being close to the Quran, you'll see how the Quran is going to open up doors for you in wanting to strive more for the akhirah. So you'll find that, subhanAllah, suddenly you'll find yourself wanting to strive and be part of being part of, say, a charity organization, you know, a helping towards the akhirah, things like this. You'll find yourself opening up to wanting to do more righteous deeds, getting involved with da'wah, getting involved with charity projects, different doors of khair, different doors of goodness that you'll find that the Quran will open up to you, because you've already opened your heart to the Quran, and then you start realizing, like, the more you read the verses of Jannah, the more you realize you need to do something to get there. You can't just have hope, you know, wishful thinking that you're going to reach there. What am I going to do personally to reach al-Jannah? And there's different doors of Jannah. You know, there's a door of charity, there's a door of jihad, there's a door of siyam. So what's the door that you're going to take? Because we all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We all have different things that we find easier than others. Some people find prayers easier than others, so they do extra prayers. Some people find sadaqah easy, so they do lots of extra sadaqah. Some people, they love fasting, so they do lots of extra fasts. Some people find reciting and memorizing the Quran is easy for them, so they go for that. You understand? So this is what we have to look for. Each and every one of you have got individual acts of worship that you find easy for you, and this is what you need to be trying to find in yourself. What is the one that really you find easy, and through that, inshallah, this is bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, your path to Jannah, inshallah. So this is how, for the one who comes to the Quran with sincerity, that it can make a transformational change, inshallah, upon your life. Then another thing in regards to the Quran is barakah. The words of the Quran are barakah, and they bring barakah into your life. Okay, they bring barakah into your life. And this is what a lot of people do not understand this. You know, you'll find the more you're with the Quran, you'll see the barakah starts to come into your home. You'll see the barakah in your children. Allah blesses, He places barakah and blessing in your children. He places blessing in your family, in your even marriage, subhanAllah, in your rizq. I'm not saying you're going to be a millionaire. I'm not saying you're going to be a millionaire by reading the Quran, no. But, you know, Allah makes the life happy for you. He makes the life content for you, even if you don't have a lot of things. Okay? And this is the greatest source, actually, of richness. Richness is not through material things. Richness is the richness of the soul, as the Prophet ﷺ told us. So many people, they say, you know, I'm too busy. You know, I don't have time to read the Quran. But what they don't realize is that the Quran gives you barakah in your time. It actually blesses your time. A lot of people, you know, they sit down and they write out this, they might write out a timetable, what they want to achieve, you know, like goals and plans and everything like that. But they don't realize that if you really wanted to achieve a great deal in your life, then it's through the barakah of the Quran. Allah will bless your time through being close to the Quran. And the other thing is too that the Quran is the way to every happiness. The Quran is the way to every happiness. You know, Allah Ta'ala, He says in the Quran, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Whoever follows my guidance, then they'll never go astray, nor shall they ever grieve. They'll never feel sad by following the guidance of Allah Ta'ala. So what is the reason for that? Because every time you recite the Quran, every time you try to ponder over the meanings, you know, and get close to Allah through the Quran, it's nourishing your soul. It's nourishing your soul, and it brings happiness to your heart. It raises your iman. It brings happiness to your heart. And what it does is it takes your mind off your problems. It takes your mind off your problems. Like, it's even proven that if you want to feel happier, you need to put a block on your thoughts. You need to find ways of putting blockers on your thoughts. Like, if you go to a psychologist and you're going through anxiety or depression, they'll tell you that you need to put blockers on your thoughts, because your thoughts keep taking you this way, they keep taking you that way, and the more you go into it, the more negative chemicals start building up in your body and you start feeling worse and worse and worse. It's like a downward spiral. But if you put blockers, then subhanAllah, you'll see how you're able to step out of that. You're able to step out of your life for a little while and focus on something else. And what better way than focusing on the akhirah? What better way than focusing on Allah and the akhirah? So that's what the Quran does. It's putting, you know, the best of blockers, you know, on your mind. It's filling your heart with hope. It fills your heart with love for Allah and feeling like you're not alone. You don't have to deal with all this on your own. And knowing that there's a Jannah in the next life, that everything you're going through is worth it. You know, there's nothing that, nothing is, you know, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Maryam, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Like, your Lord is not forgetful of what you go through, my dear sisters. Allah is watching, you know, Allah Ta'ala is shaheed. He is a shaheed. Like, He is witnessing everything you're going through. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah does not, you know, cause the good deeds of the muhsinin to be lost. So whatever you go through, it's not forgotten by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we have to keep in our mind. That's what the Quran reminds you. And if you think about the Quran as well, my dear sisters, the Quran is a book of hope. The Quran is a book of hope, full of hope. Think about all the verses. For example, لَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not feel sad. Allah's comforting you through those words. وَلَا تَخَافُوا. Don't fear. Don't fear anything. Allah is with you. وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Don't feel weak. Don't feel overwhelmed by whatever's happening to you in your life. And وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا. Do not despair. Do not feel hopeless. Do not feel helpless. Don't feel like there's no hope for you, you know, in whatever you're going through. So we have to realize that life is so full of, you know, of trials and hardships and sadness. And as I said earlier, Allah knew when He created you that you're going to go through this. He knew, and it was all written for you 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, that you're going to go through trials and sadness and hard times in this world. So that's why we are in the greatest need for what fills our heart with hope. You need to fill your heart up with hope. And if you're not doing that, then subhanAllah, how can you? No wonder we feel so hopeless when we don't take the means to try to fill our hearts with hope. Okay, so what the Quran does, it comforts your heart, it strengthens your heart, it helps you face the trials that come in your way. It helps you face and become resilient. It gives you resilience in ways that I can't explain it. It's from the barakah of the Quran. It's honestly from the barakah of the Quran. That's why Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. This is how we strengthen your heart. You have to ask yourself, what was it that's making the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so resilient against all his trials? What was it that's making the Sahabiyat and the Sahaba so resilient in facing their trials? Yes, you could say that they were chosen from Allah, definitely. But, you know, and they had each other to make each other resilient. But they were drinking from the fountain that Allah had sent them. They're always drinking from that fountain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them to drink from, to make their hearts firm, to make their hearts resilient. That's what you have to understand. And because we're not drinking from the same fountain, that's the problem. That's why we're not feeling that strength in our lives. We're not able to overcome our hardships. We're collapsing in the face of our hardships, my dear sisters. So, you know, if you think about this time, one of the strangest things we see is, despite we're living in all of this luxury and comfort, but there's never been a time in history that people have been so stressed and suffering from so much anxiety and depression and all of these things. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the reason? What is the reason? Because we're becoming so caught up in dunya. You know, when you think of it, what is the reason for huzn in the heart ultimately? What is the greatest reason for huzn in the heart? It's always something from dunya. People don't get upset about the things that lead to Jannah. They get upset about dunya things. Okay? Ultimately, it's your own attachment to the dunya that's making you feel sad. So if you can start to realize that, it helps you to detach and not get so worked up about this. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. Because yani, in the end, when you look back at this life, you'll be thinking to yourself, subhanAllah, I can't believe I spent all those days and all those years, you know, crying over that, or, you know, being stressed over that, when this is now the reality of this world. It's either Jannah or fire. You know, when you see that reality, you'll be thinking, subhanAllah, you know? And that's what the Quran is there for, to remind you of that, to bring you back to that. That is what is going to happen. That is the real reality that you should be focusing on. Okay? So that's why none of us can afford to be away from the Quran. It's what you need to get that perspective. It's so essential. But besides that, dear sisters, as well, the Quran is nur. The Quran is nur. It brings nur into your life, and it brings nur into your grave, and it brings nur for you in the sirat, for the bridge over the hellfire, and it brings nur for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So who wouldn't want to be close to the Quran? Who wouldn't want to be close to the Quran, subhanAllah? Allah Ta'ala says, قَدَ جَاءَكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُّبِينٌ. Verily, there has come to you from Allah a nur, a light, and a kitabun mubin, and a clear book that Allah has sent. So no matter how dark your life may be, but the Quran is a nur for you in this life. The Quran is a nur for you, and you have to seek that nur. This life, you know what it's like? It's like a dark tunnel. You're going through this dark tunnel. You can't see your way. if you don't have something to guide you, what's going to happen? You're going to be banging, you're going to start hitting yourself on the walls of that tunnel. You're going to get hurt. You're going to trip over the rocks that you can't see. But when you're close to the Quran, it's like you got a little lantern. You got a little lantern, you're holding that lantern, and it's helping you find your way. Not to bang into that, not to trip over that, until inshallah, you reach safely to the other side. That's the way you got to think about the Quran. So, you know, as I said to you, in so many times when you're feeling lost and confused, you know, sit quietly, go take wudu, sit quietly, face the Qibla, open up the Quran, ask Allah beforehand, make dua to Allah, Ya Allah, I ask you to guide me through your words, to show me the way. What is the way I should take now? I'm very confused. And read and ponder and keep on making dua as you're reading. And ask Allah, Ya Allah, guide me through your words. Inshallah, bi-idhnillah, with your sincerity, Allah subhanahu will place it in your heart. He'll place the answer in your heart. The other thing, my dear sisters, is that the Quran is a ruh. It's described also as ruh. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. That verily we have revealed to you a ruham min amrina. That we have revealed to you like a ruh. Right? So this, Allah Ta'ala described the Quran as a ruh. And as you know, my dear sisters, what is a body that has no soul in it? What is a body with no soul? It has no life. The body with no soul has no life. And similarly, this life without the Quran in it is like a body without a soul. That's the reality. This life is like an empty life. It's just like a carcass, or it's just like a, you know, an empty body with no soul in it if you don't have Quran in your life. Because the Quran is what makes a person taste the sweetness in this life despite its bitterness. This life has got so much bitterness in it, but the Quran helps you taste the sweetness. Because the sweetness will only come through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the remembrance of Allah ta'ala and the akhirah. And that's why without the Quran in your life, you can't taste the true taste of this life, because you've turned away from this connection that you need to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about the person with no Quran in them is like the destroyed, ruined house. A person with no Quran in them is like a destroyed, ruined house. Inna alladhi laysa fi jawfihi shay'un min al-Qur'an kal baytil kharib. That verily the person who has nothing in their chest from the Quran is like the ruined house. That's why I strongly advise my sisters to memorize as much as you can from the Book of Allah. Memorizing the Quran, my dear sisters, is different than just reciting the Quran. When you have memorized verses and ayat and surahs from the Quran and you start to recite them from memory, it has a whole different effect on your heart than just reciting it from the Mushaf. Let me tell you, for example, Surah Al-Kahf on Fridays. If you recite Surah Al-Kahf from memory, from your heart on Fridays, you will see it has a whole different effect on you than if you just were to recite it from the Mushaf. Okay, so it's like a strengthening of the heart when you memorize the Quran. So that's why when you fill your heart up with the Quran, you don't leave space for shaitan to come into it. Okay, you fill your heart up with the words of the Quran, then you don't leave space for emptiness to come in your heart, or sadness or discontentment. You block it out through the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we have to ask ourselves as well, my dear sisters, why is there so much shaitan in the households of the Muslims today? Why is there so much shaitan in the households of the Muslims today? Go and look at the state of the households of the Muslims to start off with. How often do they recite the Quran in those households? How often do they play the Quran in those households? You know, how often does the children of that household hear the mother reciting the Quran in that household? Right? So instead, what are those households filled with, my dear sisters? Music, the voice of shaitan, you know, movies, you know, all these noises, arguing and screaming and swearing and all of this stuff that's going on inside the houses. Instead of bring the malaika into the houses, we do all these haram things that the malaika run away from our houses. And so we leave it for the shaitan. Okay, so this is what we have to ask ourselves. And this is what I'm saying to you, that if a person doesn't have Quran in their house, you're leaving it open for shaitan to come into your house. Okay, but when you bring Quran into your house, you're blocking the doors for shaitan to be able to enter into your house. You'll see, inshallah, that if you adopt Quran in your life, reciting it every day, reciting it in front of your children, you'll see how Sakina comes down your house. Your children, their behavior becomes, inshallah, better. Their akhlaq becomes better. They become better in their, you know, in their practice of Islam. All of these things, because it has an effect. It has an effect through them, you know, seeing the Quran and witnessing and hearing the Quran always in their house. Okay? Another thing, the Quran is a shifa. The Quran is shifa. It is a healing. It's a healing from every type of disease. Whether we're talking about spiritual diseases or whether we're even talking about physical diseases, the Quran is a shifa for every type of disease. You know, but especially one of the greatest ways that the Quran is a shifa is shifa from doubts and confusion. Okay, because other things, to be tested with other things, to be tested with physical things, is a lesser test than to be tested in one's deen. There's no greater test and no greater ibtila or trial than to be tested in one's deen. So even some of the salaf, if they got tested in something in their body or something in their wealth, they would say, alhamdulillah, I wasn't tested in my deen. Because to be tested in your deen is a far greater trial. Okay, so we are living in times of confusion. We are living in times of doubts. People now, they doubt their deen. They doubt even about their own selves. They're confused about what direction to take in their lives. They're confused about their identity and who they are. Like people now, wa'udhu billah, there are people on this earth, can you believe, that even doubt whether they might be even a cat. As crazy as that sounds. I saw a man, he's 50, he thinks he's a 7-year-old girl. Like that's the level we're reaching now. That's how much shaitan is overtaking. That people can actually believe that they could actually be in reality a cat and not a human being. Like la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Like we think we're going ahead as society, but I don't think anybody in the past ever got to these depths, you know. So subhanAllah, we have to realize in all this state of confusion and craziness, yeah, we have to realize that if you don't truly know Allah, then you can never truly know your purpose and direction in this life. That's what it comes down to. If you don't truly know Allah, you can never know your true purpose and direction that you need to be taking. And the only way to truly know oneself and to truly know one's purpose in this world is by firstly knowing Allah. When you know Allah, then you can know about your own self. Right? So the only way to know Allah is how? Through the Quran. How else can you know about Allah except through the Quran? So that's the first step to knowing about Allah is through the Quran. So that's why, sisters, we need to realize that the Quran is like a medicine that you need to take every single day. It's not really a choice anymore. Like maybe in the past when they had better environments, they could have maybe had a bit more of a choice. But in our situation that we're going through, we really don't have a choice. And so realize that even if you don't even feel like you're in the mood for it, you still need it. So take it as a dawa. Take it as a medicine. And never, someone asked Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, for example. They said to him, why isn't there in the Quran any ayah about medicine? Why isn't there in the Quran any ayah about medicine? He said, because the whole Quran is medicine. There's no need to put an ayah about the medicine in the Quran because the whole Quran itself is a medicine. And I've already given you a lesson before about spiritual healing of the Quran. How even if you're suffering from physical ailments, if you're going through a sickness, you should use the Quran, which is called Ruqya, recite on yourself. Recite the last three surahs of the Quran, blow into your hands, and wipe over your body. And in your heart, sincerely believing that through these words, Allah can heal you. Because there's barakah in these words. That's the approach. Not just because you recite those ayat or those surahs. No. in your heart, you have the tawakkul in Allah, the yaqeen in Allah, that Allah can cure you through these words. He can cure you through these words because these words are barakah. They are His words, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to realize that you will never feel truly strong nor stable in this life until you hold firmly onto this book. You need to hold firmly onto this book until you reach your grave. It's the only way to get through safely in this world right now. I want to go on and talk a little bit about the rewards for Quran now, inshallah. So there's so many rewards for reciting the Quran. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm going to give you some of them to keep in mind. But we have to realize that if we want to be close to Allah, if we want Allah to raise us in status with Him in this world and the next, then the Quran is from the greatest ways. Because Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. So learning the Quran, teaching the Quran. So if you go and learn the Quran, you teach it to your children, you will be, inshallah, from this category, bi-idhnillah. So that should be our aim, to always be stuck to the Quran until we reach, until we meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, inna lillahi ahlina minan nas, that Allah has chosen from amongst people, hum ahlul Qur'ani, ahlullahi wa khasatuhu, that who are those chosen from amongst people? They are the companions of the Quran. The companions of the Quran, and they are the companions of Allah, and they are His chosen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from amongst them. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So, we have to realize that we have to always make dua and ask Allah, Ya Allah, make me from the companions of the Quran. Make me from the companions of the Quran, because the Quran is not something. Yani, the Quran is something that Allah only gives to whom He chooses. So you ask Allah, Ya Allah, make me from those who You've chosen, and to make me from the Ahlul Quran, Ya Rabbil Alameen. How do you know if you're from Ahlul Quran? How do you know if you're from the company, the companions of the Quran? Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those who recite the verses of the Book of Allah, they give it its right in its tilawa. Okay, they are the ones, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِي, they are the ones who believe in it. So the sign of your belief in the Quran is that you constantly recite it, and that you constantly try to perfect your recitation and understand it and recite it constantly. That's a sign of your iman in the Quran. So if you find your heart open to the Quran, that you love to recite it, that you love to learn about it and learn its meanings and memorize it, and you feel its sweetness, and you try to strive to implement its commands in every aspect of your life, then inshallah, bi-idhnillah, this is a sign, bi-idhnillah, make us all from amongst them. You're from the companions of the Quran, inshallah. From the rewards of the Quran is the Quran will intercede for its companions on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we know that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for this ummah. The prophets will intercede for their various, from their nations. The malaika will be given permission to intercede, and even from amongst those who will be given permission to intercede will be the Quran. So those who used to give it the Quran its haqq in reciting it, the Quran will intercede for them, especially those who used to recite, for example, Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, and they were stuck to those surahs, especially if they memorized them. Okay, so that's some of the rewards for the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iqra'ul Quran, fa innahu yati yawm al-qiyamati shafi'an li ashabihi." Recite the Quran, for verily it will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah as an intercessor for its companions. Also, it will be said to the companion of the Quran, "Iqra wartaqi warattil." Like it will be said on Yawm al-Qiyamah to the one who used to always recite the Quran, recite and continue reciting and keep repeating the ayat, "Kama kunta turattilu fi dunya," as you used to recite in the dunya. that verily your level in Jannah will be with the last ayah that you recite. So subhanAllah, this is from the rewards of reciting the Quran. And so you have to realize, my dear sisters, that you know, you might not, in the beginning when you first go to the Quran, you might not really understand it, but you still get the reward of reciting it. So don't give up. Don't give up reciting just because you don't really understand it. And you can, you know, like what you can do, what I used to do years ago, is you can have the Arabic on one side, you can have the English on the other side. And so you can recite, you know, the Arabic ayah, and you can look across and see what the English is, so that you can get more of an understanding of the ayat. Okay, so, but just know in your hearts that even if you don't really understand the verses, it's still purifying you. It's still purifying you and it's still raising you in your level. So that's why don't give up. It's still, there's still benefits in reciting the Quran. Okay, so I just want to give some advice before we finish. Give some advice. Because we have, inshallah, 2 months, 2 weeks, and approximately 2 days before Ramadan's about to start. So this is the best time. Now is the best time more than ever, that if we're not in a routine of the Quran, that we need to start from now. Because, you know, preparing for Ramadan, if you want to be successful in Ramadan, you don't wait to the first day of Ramadan. You start early, okay? You start early. Like, if you're going to go to Hajj or you're going to go on a journey, do you pack your stuff the day before? Well, I have to admit, for some journeys, I do. But most of us, when we go on a holiday, like, especially if it's a big one, you're going to start a few months before preparing. You're not going to just wait till the, you know, the night before and start doing something. You know what I'm trying to say? Otherwise, you're going to get there and, oh my God, I forgot everything. You know what I mean? You're going to regret. So it's the same thing. Ramadan's coming and we need to prepare ourselves. And one of the best ways of preparing ourselves is getting in a good Quran routine from now. So we might have been forgetting to do that. Like, life gets us busy and we get off track. But if that's happened to us, that's, you know, we can't change the past, but we can change the future, you know? So we've got to think about how we're going to change from now, you know, until Ramadan. So think about how you can start implementing, you know, the Quran into your day. There's always a good time for everybody that you've got to find. So some people, it might be first thing in the morning after Fajr. After Fajr is one of the best times, especially if you have a busy day, you've got to go to work, you've got to go to uni. You're going to need to use that time after Fajr, you know, pray your Fajr prayer, recite the Quran at that time, maybe before your kids will wake up and disturb you. Or it could be after you've taken your children to school, so that after they've gone to school, you drop them off, the house is quiet. You know, before you go start attacking the house with all the stuff you've got to do, you sit down and make 1 hour of Quran time for yourself. That could be your time. Or maybe your time is you like to get everything over and done with first, and then after you get it all done, you sit down quietly in the afternoon and you have your Quran time in the afternoon. Like, everyone's going to have their own individual time because our timetables are all different. But the most important thing is we're making some time somewhere in the day. And it could also be for some people before they go to bed. They might just sit in bed and recite some Quran, have it next to your bed. If you're like that, have it next to either your prayer mat or have it next to your bed, so that you sit down in bed and you think, oh, I haven't read any Quran today. So you reach across and you get it up and you start reading, okay? Or next to your prayer mat, like you recite, you pray, and then, you know, it's right there. So you think, you know what, I'll just read a few ayat. Okay, so you need to have goals as well. Like, now we're all going to be on different stages with the Quran. Okay, so some people are already fluent in Arabic. They're already fluent in Arabic, so they can maybe have a routine of, say, reciting a juz every day or half a juz every day, something like that. Okay, or maybe they're memorizing the Quran so they can revise a juz or revise half a juz or whatever they're doing, okay? But other people, they're not very fluent in Arabic. They might be just starting out. So, like, for example, maybe you can only recite juz amma. I'm gonna go down the different stages, right? So maybe you can only recite juz amma. So in your case, just focus, like, say to yourself, all right, you know what? I know how to recite juz amma. I'm not very good at it, but my goal is gonna be, I'm gonna recite juz amma until Ramadan. I'm gonna really try to make it, you know, strong, and make it more fluent, okay? And you could be working on that. Or maybe, you know, you're a new revert, you've just started, you're just starting out,
So, you know, your routine could be, all right, I've memorized Surat Al-Ikhlas. You know, I'm going to memorize Surat Al-Falaq and Nas because they're very, mashallah, amazing surahs that you can do so much with, especially when it comes to like doing ruqya on yourself, like I said before, and you know, you use them as part of your adhkar as well. And then slowly start memorizing the short surahs in the back of the Quran, the really easy ones, the short ones, because then it's like, you know, us who've had children now, you know, your kids when they're little and they're really proud of it, but it does make you feel good. Even if you only know Surah Al-Kawthar, and even if you know only Surah Al-Asr, and Surah Al-Ikhlas, and you know, Surah Al-Nasr, you know, those really short surahs, but it makes you feel satisfied that you do know that many surahs, and you start adding them up, and wow, I know now 15 surahs. That's different than someone who knows Surah Baqarah. That doesn't matter, do you know what I mean? So that's the way you can start your approach. So start thinking about how you can start, you know, memorizing short surahs. And also, you know, you can memorize these surahs and get them ready for Ramadan so that when Ramadan comes, maybe you can't always go to Taraweeh in the mosque.
Maybe you're not able to go to Taraweeh. Maybe you've got children. It's a very big hassle to, especially winter, very hard to get all the kids ready to go to the mosque every night. Okay, if that's if your mosque even has facilities for kids. But some do, alhamdulillah, we do have some mosques around that actually do have facilities for kids. They have babysitting and stuff during Ramadan, alhamdulillah. But let's say you can't go, at least you have those surahs that you've been working on to recite in your Taraweeh. And even if you don't have memorized them yet, you'll be able to read them because you know them, because you've been reading them so many times. From now until then, you can pick up your mushaf and you can recite, for example, Juzamma, you know, in your prayers for Taraweeh, for example. You could do that. All right? So that's some ideas of ways that we can start getting close to the Quran from now until Ramadan. Now, I'm going to just talk about another thing, another advice, and that is many people complain, you know, that I read the Quran, but I don't feel anything. I read the Quran, but I don't feel anything. Now, you have to realize that very often in the beginning, you won't feel anything. It's normal. Like, I remember when I first started, you know, learning the Quran, I didn't really feel that much because I didn't really understand the words, and, you know, all I was trying to focus on is, you know, perfecting the recitation and stuff like that. But what you've got to think about in that when you're going through that stage, like realize there's different stages. You're going to need to break through certain barriers and it's going to come, but you've got to be very patient, keep asking Allah and keep trying to move forward, okay? But when you're in that stage where you're not really feeling anything, you've just got to keep on reminding yourself that even if you don't feel something, these words are washing your heart. These words are washing your heart and they're strengthening your heart. And they're breaking down the shackles in your heart. Like there's a lot of shackles we have in our heart. And so they're breaking those down. The words are breaking those down. And you know, like that's why Uthman ibn Affan, he once said that if our hearts were really pure, we would never have enough, we would never get enough from reciting Allah's words. Like we would never get bored from reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't forget too, he's talking from the aspect of someone who understands the words. Like they understood the words, they understood the deep meanings of the Quran. So it's very different for them. Obviously the effect that had on their hearts was of a different level than for many of us who don't understand the Quran. That's why you gotta keep on, as I said, moving forward, trying to move towards, you know, understanding more and more. One of the ways that helped me was memorizing, as I said before, the short surahs of the Quran with their meanings, okay? Start off with that, and if you're, you know, alhamdulillah, if you're able to go to a class where you learn the tafsir as well, that really helps as well, because then you recite the surah with the understanding of its meaning, and so it has a much more powerful effect on your heart. So realize that in order, like, it's like you're trying to break through to the secrets of the Quran. You're trying to break through the secrets of the Quran. You need to, in order to reach that, you need to keep on struggling. And you know, and by you sincerely struggling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open its secrets to you. But I believe that even if you didn't understand Arabic, Allah will still open up these secrets for you. Like if you were to read, you know, the Arabic, or even if you just read the English translation, even there's benefit in reading the translation of the Quran. Of course, it's never going to be the same level of powerful words as reading in Arabic, but still within the English translation, if you were looking for answers, if you look deep enough, inshallah, you will find it bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So you'll see how, as you know, you're trying to persevere in this path,
bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah will open up the doors for you and you will gain new perspective for your life and see the barakah that inshallah Allah is placing into your life through being close to the Quran. And as I said before, even, you know in your heart that even if you don't understand a word you're reciting, know that Allah is purifying you by your efforts, by your recitation. He's raising your level with Him. And always remind yourself too that when you read these words, Allah is speaking to your heart. He is speaking to your heart through these words. And that reciting these words is an act of ibadah. It's an act of worship. That every single harf, every single letter of the Quran is equal to 10 hasanat or more. It's, you know, it's multiplied by 10 hasanat or more. So, and the more difficult it is, the more struggles you go through to, subhanAllah, you know, get close to the Quran, the more rewards and the greater, you know, your status will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's not the same, that person who didn't go through many struggles to learn the Quran as the one who went through a great deal of struggles and hardships to learn the Quran. Okay, so the most important thing, like I was saying before, is don't neglect the Quran. Do not neglect the Quran, my dear sisters, and don't leave the Quran that in a way that you only pick it up in Ramadan. That is the worst thing we could do. As you can see from everything we spoke about today, the worst thing we can do in these times in particular is to put the Quran down on a shelf and leave it there getting dust until the next Ramadan comes. Because these words that Allah Ta'ala revealed to us, they are extremely heavy words that if they had been revealed onto a mountain, it would have crumbled out of its khashya, out of its fear of Allah, due to the heaviness of these words. And that is the impact that the Quran needs to have on our hearts. And I want to finish up by saying, you know, that people, we see humans, we see, you know, people, they're always running after the expensive things in this world. They're always running after the expensive worldly things. But the sad thing is, they don't run after the most precious thing in this world, which is the words of Allah Ta'ala. Okay, so I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love for the Quran and fill our children's hearts with the love for the Quran. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our homes with the Quran and make us from those who recite the Quran day and night. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to make the Quran nur for us in this dunya, and nur for us in our graves, and nur for us on the sirat, and nur and light for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to elevate us in this life and the next through the Quran, and not to, subhanAllah, humiliate us through His words. And I ask Him to make His words a witness for us in Yawm al-Qiyamah and not a witness against us. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.